KG4WNP, W4DJW.
W4NGU.
Good afternoon, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Well, I got about another hour of work, and then I'll be doing good. Other than that, I am doing good.
Another little observation I had the other night on the new repeater developments. I kept calling in with my little Baofeng out in the yard, and I would let off the PTT and couldn't hear anything. And I would call, and I did that three times, and finally Gary or whoever was calling, I believe it was Gary, said, "You got it, go ahead." And what was happening is my Baofeng, and I don't, there may be an adjustment for this, but I don't think there is. It takes about a second and a half or so for the receiver to activate again, and 6-1 was falling out before I could hear again.
Yeah, that's going to take some getting used to. If you want to know if you're hitting the repeater, see, it's give and take, right? So the crossband repeat and Echolink both benefit from a short squelch tail. But scenarios like you just described, they go in the opposite direction. But if you want to know, if you're not sure if you're hitting it or not, then just key up and you can throw out your call sign and hit *# on your keypad. And it'll identify. And if it identifies after you hit *#, you know you hit it. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Good capability.
I would give you a demonstration, but I don't have a handheld. I just got a push button on my screen for transmit is all I have. But I might be able to finagle something.
Try it sometime. That's a great solution, Dave. Been hoping to hear you on for several days to make that observation to you. I need to make a quick stop, and I know you're just anxious to get back to work. W4NGU clear on your final.
Well, I was just monitoring the, I had a break, so I was just monitoring how it's been doing today. I heard a lot of static in it this morning. This afternoon, I heard a conversation that went very, very smooth with very little static, so that noise floor concerns me. Anyway. Go ahead and give that a shot and let me know how that works out for you. I got a handheld here. I might try that in just a minute. W4DJW. Good talking to you, Phil.
Six link online. Whiskey 4 November. Yankee Kilo Flash Romeo 6-1. Repeater. The time is 5:21 p.m. Press 0 number sign for help.
DJW on the handheld. Listening.
4DJW, Kilo, Mike 4, Golf, Zulu Golf, David, Easley, Mobile. Hello, sir. Is my signal getting into the repeater okay?
I'm trying out my handheld at the same time. You sound crystal clear on my handheld. Probably one of the best signals I've ever heard on it. How does this sound toward you?
Theobald, there is background fuzz, if you will, a little bit of white noise. But you're perfectly copyable, but on a handheld, that's not a shocker. Whereabouts are you located, sir?
Okay, I just switched back over to the base station. I'm in Greer, but I was just trying that out on the handheld because the base station doesn't have a mic that you could hold in your hand with DTMF buttons on it. But I'm in Greer over, I'm to the west of Lake Cunningham and to the south of Lake Robinson. So if you drew a line, vertical line through Cunningham and a horizontal line through Cunningham and a vertical line through Robinson, where they intersected is where I am.
Well, I don't have any U.S. topographical USGS survey maps anywhere immediately handy, but that's okay. The base unit is crystal clear, full quieting. The handheld, you're perfectly copyable. Yes, there is white noise in the background, but that's to be forgiven. It's a handheld with a, you know, much compromised antenna comparatively and very likely much less power.
Yeah, and that rubber duck that's on it has been bent. It's got a crimp about halfway up where it's been doubled over. So I don't know. I might only be on half of an antenna with some high SWR. But anyway, it was able to hit it with the request for the repeater to identify itself, which I was explaining to Phil. I don't know if you heard that or not.
A little bit of that. I actually had just stopped to pick up a little bit of kerosene from my yard lanterns and such, and so I was near the truck, but not in the truck, and I could hear the radio. So I did catch a little bit of that.
Well, he's giving me feedback about the short squelch tail, which benefits crossband repeat. And a lot of guys are setting up crossband repeat because it's convenient. You can use your handheld and get in 100% with very low power, so your handheld can last all day long. But the problem with that is when you let up on the handheld, when you're crossband repeating, is you have to wait for the repeater to come down completely. And when you've got a 2-second squelch tail on it, you're waiting, and normally somebody else will key it up. And you'll say, gosh darn it, I'm trying to get in, I couldn't get in. And then you'll wait till they stop talking, and you'll wait for it to go down, and somebody else will bring it up. So you just can't get in when you're crossbanding. EchoLink has the same problem. They don't get the button to push to transmit until the repeater comes down. So we shortened up the squelch tail quite a bit. The negative side effect of that is if your receiver doesn't switch from transmit to receive real quick on your handheld, you don't know if you actually brought the repeater up or not, which could be a benefit in some cases, but it's a drawback in others. But if you ever wonder if you're getting in or not, you can always just key up and press star pound, and star pound will be a request to the repeater to identify itself. And if it identifies after you do that, you know you're hitting it. W4DJW.
4DJW. KM4 Golf Zoo is up. Yep, and I myself use crossband repeat a good bit. Where I live here on the mountain, I'm not really on the top of the mountain. I'm kind of, over on the, what am I on, the eastern edge of it. So some repeaters I can hammer right into with the handheld, for instance, and some I cannot. For instance, Anderson, which I call their net on Friday nights, sometimes I'll actually do it with the handheld, but I bounce it a crossband repeat off of the Typterra radio that I'm on right now in the truck, and I can run both sides of the crossband at 5 watts, and just with the more efficient antenna and the ground plane of being on the truck, it'll hammer into the Anderson repeater, and I can use my crossband, and run a very low power on both the handy talkie and this radio. Crossband's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, we do the same thing at field day, and I've done it in the past a long time ago at ham fists, because when you're at a ham fist on the handheld, you're inside. Normally there's an inside area, and a lot of times that's inside a metal building, and your handheld can get to your vehicle, but it can't get to the repeater. But so if you want to talk to somebody on the repeater, you got to go out to the truck instead of doing that, or the car. Instead of doing that, you just set up crossband repeat and you set your handy talkie on the lowest power it'll go, and voila, you still have continuity with the repeater even though you're inside a metal building. Yeah, it's really handy. I know what you mean. Once you get used to it, it's hard not to use it. Until you run your battery flat on your vehicle, and then you can't go somewhere. I've done that too, and then you shy away from it a little bit. W4DJW.
I'll be honest. Well, I run both sides on the crossband because you got two sides of your radio working simultaneously. The side you're using, which is probably at the lowest power setting, and then on the other side that you're hitting the repeater with, you want to actually keep it at the lowest power setting available where you can still cleanly hit the machine. And on mine, I can run both sides at 5 watts, and it works just fine. So and on the other side of the coin, it does not heat all that much, and that is one of the things you got to be very careful about on crossband is heating, because they're working at some crazy duty cycle like 60% or something like that. It really will heat them up if you don't keep an eye on them.
That, and I was able to go to there's a website out there that has to do with APRS stuff, a lot of APR stuff on it. I can't think of the name all right now. Tapers, or not Tapers, but it's another one. Anyway, I found on there a box that you can put between your radio and the car, and if the voltage dips down to you can set a level, then it'll cut the radio off. It'll say no more for the radio, and that way you can never drain your battery all the way down. And that's good, because sometimes we could be at a ham fest that was a long way away from the repeater, and you'd really need to crank up the power to be able to hit the repeater. So that was a good solution to that, is that that little device that automatically shuts it off once it gets to a predefined level that you set, And that way you make sure you never drain your battery.
QSL, yep. You have to be able to turn the key and crank that motor because, of course, once you have the engine running, you're golden. But up until then, you just don't know. But, yeah, the crossband repeat is a cool thing. Oh, I heard you discussing the tails. Actually, on mine, I turn all the tails off on it. So it's very, very quick. In fact, most people, if I don't, which I always do, but if I don't identify that I'm operating via crossband repeat, they actually wouldn't notice it. I think I'm the only one who does on my end because you hear the double tails, you know, the of the main repeater dropping and then your little mini repeater, your crossband, are dropping.
Well, I didn't think about that, but I have heard exactly what you're talking about. And I guess that is people that are crossbanding. Yeah. I'll have to keep a lookout for that. I didn't know that that you could set that. I didn't know that was a setting that you could put. Like my crossbanding is done on a TS-2000, and I have done it on the TM-D710, the Kenwood 710, but it's been a long time.
And like I said, I'm not sure how the menus and all those functions exactly work on the TS-2000. However, on the little TYT, it's pretty straightforward. But I just turn the tails off, so it's very quick. And I'm just using a little Baofeng radio going in from my end. And it's quick enough, like I said, it's quick enough that I can get in and out pretty quick. Yes, there is still a bit of a delay. The people that are really, you know, got a hair trigger to get into the nets and all that, they'll sometimes step on you. But outside of that, it actually does work pretty good.
Are you using it now?
I'm not crossbanding at the moment.
Okay. Well, you're very solid into the repeater. Where are you located?
East South Carolina. Actually, kind of on that line of Easley and Liberty, what they call Fruit Mountain.
Is that near Gary? Anywhere near KI4DOS, Gary?
I've heard him referred to me as his neighbor, and I guess we are neighbors to a degree, but I'm not sure exactly how close we are.
The reason I ask is because he's got a really clear signal just like yours. So I guess you're in an area that's got an unobstructed view directly to the repeater. That's the same way I am at Robert, WRARW. We're pretty close to each other, and we've got an unobstructed view straight to the repeater, so we can get in with really low power.
One second. I'm going to drop this thing down to 5 watts, and you tell me if you can even tell a difference. 1, moment KM, 4, Golf, Zulu, Golf, ID.
Okay, W4DJW, standing by.
This is KM4 Golf, set Golf on 5 watts. I have a little TYT. Okay, sir. DJW, can you tell any difference?
Negative. No difference. It sounds just like it did before.
Kind of the point, if you can get full quieting on 5 watts, if you run your crossbander at the lowest possible power, for one, you don't heat your radio up nearly as bad. Number two, you don't pull on your battery near as hard. Well, if I'm calling the net, I'll actually crank the truck and just let it run. Because, you know, what's the net going to run? About 25, 30 minutes. So the truck's not going to burn that much gas. But I'd hate to come out here on a cold winter morning and discover I can't crank my vehicle because I killed the battery last night.
Well, is that a handheld TYT or a mobile TYT?
50-watt mobile.
Okay, so you're on a vehicle antenna. You're not on a rubber duck. That might explain why you're getting in so good with 5 watts.
As a matter of fact, it's an MFJ Rough Rider dual band antenna. It's a very, very efficient antenna. So, like I said, I can pump 5 watts into it. And you got to think how these mag mounts work. You know, when it's sitting on the middle, as long as you got a metal roof, it's sitting in the middle of that. You got this big, massive ground plane that is your vehicle, and then a rather nicely engineered radiator. You can take 5 watts and punch it out there pretty good.
That's why I use a diamond mag mount antenna on my trunk. My top of my car is all glass. There's no metal up there to stick it to, but the trunk makes for a really good ground plane. And I've been doing that since I became a ham in 2004, and I've never had an issue with it. And you don't have to punch a hole in your trunk or the roof of your car.
Yeah, that's true. And, yep, and guess what? A whole lot of cars these days are fiberglass. I mean, it's lighter weight. It's pretty darn strong if they engineer it properly. And, it's fairly easy to work with and fairly inexpensive. But, man, that fiberglass makes a horrible ground plane for radio antennas.
Yeah, like none. You do get a little bit off the mag mount, too, I think. Well, I was calling Landon. I thought I heard him. He might be on his way back. He said he was going out. It might be a little soon, though. This is Tuesday. He's headed up toward Virginia on Sunday. And I don't know when he's coming back, but I thought I heard him. That's why I was calling him earlier to see. He's going so far north. When he comes back, he's going to try to get back into the repeater from as far north as he can. We know that Steve was able to call from Billy Graham and 85 in Charlotte, but to want to see just how much further he can go out or come back from and still get into the repeater now that we've got 15 more watts than we had before. W4DJW.
Man, that's not bad. Billy Graham Parkway or whatever is like exit 30-something, 34 maybe. So you got to think that's up there a bit. So, yeah, that's not a bad footprint at all. Well, W4DJW, this is KM4 Golf, Say Golf. I'm going to get my little rear end in the house. I'm going to get some vittles in my belly. I'm kind of hungry. And I'll be hanging out on the net, Anderson net, just the Blue Ridge net. And I also jump on the 3860, the American Southeastern Patriots net. Those are some fantastic folks. Do you have HF licensing, sir?
I do, but it's normally dedicated 24 hours a day running Whisper at 2 watts. It runs round the clock, Whisper at 2 watts. And I make connections all around the globe. Every 12 hours, I get about almost 400 connections every 12 hours. So I generally don't take it off of that. I want to leave it there. I don't want to transmit while it's got a receiver any power to any extreme. I don't want to damage that receiver.
I have heard of Whisper. I have not a clue what it is. As a matter of fact, when it comes to ham radios, there is so many modes and modalities that you can operate. It's insane. I'm a pretty very basic guy. Like I said, I run my 2 meter 440. I sometimes do crossband, and when I operate HF, I'm pretty much a single sideband voice guy. I have not learned CW yet or anything of that nature. I'd like to, but I am I'm a very basic ham, if you will.
Well, Whisper is a pretty old protocol. It's been around for, it's one of the first WSJT protocols. But Joe Taylor, you read about him in QST. He's all the time creating new stuff like FT8, FT4, FT8 call, FT6. He's got a ton of different protocols. But WSPR is one of the original ones that he created, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago at least. And it runs. It takes very little power to go a long, long distance. And I just kind of enjoy watching. You can use it kind of to watch the propagation shift go up and down. Like we get at one point in time, I used to get Japan all the time. I don't get Japan anymore at all, right? But I get Australia and Europe regularly, and then South Africa and Madagascar, and there's another one, New Zealand. They all come in kind of in between Australia and Europe. So you can kind of get an idea of what's really going on with the propagation because you're making close to 1,000 connections with other stations every single day. And you can watch those 1,000 connections moving around. It's pretty neat protocol to play with.
Or golf through a golfer ID. It sounds like it must obviously be a digital protocol. So are you present when this thing's doing it, or is this like a packet communication? How does that work, if you can be brief about it?
Yeah, it's 2 minutes of transmit followed by 2 minutes of receive. And then you set up a time, like mine set up for 20% transmit. So it'll receive for 20 minutes, receive for 20 minutes, receive for 20 minutes, receive for 20 minutes, and then that next 20 minutes, it'll transmit for 2 minutes. So you're doing mostly receiving, but you're contributing to the signals that are out there as well. Yeah, and you are around the station when you're transmitting, just like is required. So you need to be there. If you're going to leave for any extended period of time, you need to shut it off. But it is digital. Very, very low audio. If you listen to it, it just sounds like a very low hum. But you're actually sending your QTH, your grid square, your call sign, your transmit level, your power level. You're sending a ton of information to them. They're sending a ton of information to you. And then there's software on each end that decodes all of that and uploads it to a central database. And then in that database, they have map overlays that you can view your station and all the stations that are connecting to it, or somebody else's stations and all the stations that are connecting to it. Or if you choose, you can say, show me all call signs receiving and transmitting. And then it's just a glob. It's a bird nest when you do that, because there are thousands of hands all over the world doing it all the time.
But it sounds like it's not conventional radio where you're sitting at a radio and you're sending out an intentional signal. You're looking for a QSO, a confirmation back from another station, Lord knows where, and you're literally having a one-on-one with that station. This sounds like an automated kind of process. Is that correct? Where you may be present in the at your radio station, but you're not necessarily interacting with it. Is that correct?
That's correct. One of the things that they did with PSK was they tried to turn PSK is they created a propagation reporting website that listened to all the PSK signals, and you could be a PSK spotter, and you just run spotters that listen to it, and they upload data to a database. It wasn't specifically designed for that, but it would work for that. This was specifically designed for propagation reporting. WSPR, Weak Signal Propagation Reporter. That was its design intent. Whereas someone else prior to that built that same capability, but it wasn't PSK's primary intent. PSK is more like what you're talking about. I send out a CQ and my call sign, and I wait for somebody to respond to me, and then we have a little QSO, and then we go our separate ways. That's not what this is. This is a spinoff of a property of PSK that's specifically designed for propagation reporting, not designed for QSOs.
That explains it. That's what I was trying to get to the bottom of. Myself, I'm kind of old-fashioned. Like I said, the Patriot Net, for instance, it comes on at whatever, about 8:15 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And it's an HF, 3860, your 75-meter voice band, lower side band. And it's a bunch of guys getting together, and we talk about how much we love America and things like that, as you might have gathered by the name of it. And I enjoy it, but like I said, it's voice, we're literally talking one to the other. There's no repeaters involved. There's no, it's just my radio to your radio and the other 30 guys, jumping in on the net. And we have a good time. Unfortunately, because of the semi-political nature of it, we do get people that are not inclined that intentionally and grotesquely jam us and sometimes use really filthy, disgusting language. It's completely not legal, but they don't care. They will do that anyway. That's kind of gives hams a bad name.
Well, you're going to have that no matter what you get into. You're going to have people like that no matter where you go. But that's good. I mean, that's good that you enjoy that. I enjoyed that for a while too, but then I wanted more. That wasn't enough. And I got to thinking, you can use these things to do much more than just chew the rag, which isn't a bad thing, but, I didn't want to limit myself to only that. And that's why I got into the digital modes. And that's what's so great about ham radio. There's something for everybody, right? If that's your thing, then that's great. That's available to you. If your thing is something different, then there's other things out there. So I think it's good that it has expanded in so many directions. Even like the satellite stuff, I enjoyed that too for quite a while. I'll get back to that. Once I finish the project I'm on now, I'll get back to the satellite stuff. That's really good. Low power around the world with very, very low power, just bouncing off the birds in the sky.
That's right. And that's the thing about ham radio. There's about a gazillion different modes you can operate. And, you know, you can be a ham from 6 to 60 and very possibly never have experimented with everything there is under the sun. Indeed, they come up with something new about every third week. Anyway, I'm gonna cut you loose at this point. I gotta go in and put a little something in my belly before I pass out. DJW, this is Golf Zulu Golf. You have a wonderful evening, sir.
All right, good talking to you, David. Enjoy your evening. Catch you on one of those nets later on this evening. W4DJW, clear and listening.
73. W4DJW, KM4 Golf Zulu Golf. I'm clear, sir. Have a good one.
K2 station, there's a little static came in with you on the suffix. You want to try that again? W4DJW. Not quite holding the repeater up. I'm just getting syllables every now and then, just a few syllables, and the repeater's going up and down. So you might move around, try to find a better X, or if you've got more power, put a little bit more power into it. W4DJW.
How are you now? Any better here?
That is better. Yes, that's definitely better. What's the call sign again? Okay, I got Kilo Alf that time. You must have gone that back down in the hole, and that you're in the Taylor's Greer area. So I got Kilo Alpha. I think it's Kilo Alpha 2 and then a suffix.
2 Tango X-ray Juliet. Yeah, I guess I'm just not following the machine.
Is that Kilo Alpha 2 Tango X-ray Juliet? Is that correct? Okay, didn't get much there. I think it's Kilo Alpha 2 Tango X-ray Juliet. When you get back to a better location, you can confirm that or set me straight. W4DJW.